Awesome. So, if we can bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here together to honor you, to celebrate your son's birth. As we go through the busyness of these next couple days, maybe these next couple weeks, that we remember to give you the glory, that you are the reason for the season, that we are so fortunate to know your son, Jesus, Lord. And I just pray that as a word is shared today, that you open hearts and minds of my brothers and my sisters to hear what they need to grow their relationship with you. Amen. Oh, you may be seated. I forget I have that power when I'm up here. Like, I'm usually sitting amongst you, and I don't have that kind of power. And it's so great to be here with you all. And how many days are we from Christmas? Do the kids know? Oh, we got one who knows. 6 days? 6 days. So, are we up and running? Oh, fantastic. We got all the technical difficulties are going away today. That's fantastic. 6 days till we get to celebrate Jesus being born. And I remember learning in my teens, and I love seeing some of my youth here, so great to see you folks coming out. Somewhere in my teens, I realized that the birth of Jesus did not happen on December 25th. Not to burst any bubbles, it's just the day we choose as a society to celebrate it. But they think he was born, I think, in January. He was truly born in January, maybe early February. But I love that we pick a day, and I love that we universally celebrate it. I hear other religions celebrate it at other times. Has anybody ever heard that? Other religions that celebrate the birth of Christ celebrate it at other times. So just a little fun fact. But let me get going here. As I was preparing for today's message that I always get excited about, being honored to be amongst you up in this capacity, which you would have asked me 10 years ago, you're going to be doing this in 10 years. I said, no, that is, I'm that is not me. I can teach math, I can teach tennis, but I don't think I'm going to be up in the capacity. So thank you for letting me have this honor. But I thought my message was going to be something about living in a sin-soaked world. I was developing the message, because we're in good company as sinners. We're with among David, Moses, Paul, Ruth. I was developing this whole message around we're in good company with those sinners, and we can push through sin with God's help, of course. And then I went on a walk one afternoon, and if we can get the first slide up and running, okay? God very much put a different message on my heart, and today is a simple title. Everybody, it's simply, join me. Gifts. And right there was one of my gifts on my walk that day of my neighbors having this beautiful, I think it's a Japanese maple. Look at the beautiful scene. Not every nation is allowed to display things like this in their yard, but here's what I have when I'm on my afternoon walk. If we can go to the next one. This was another just cute scene I found that I liked with the reindeer and just, you know, the beautiful wreaths, if you can see them around. And then I want to get to the next one. This is where it started to hit me. I'm not preaching the right message in a few weeks. When I saw the cross, the wise men coming to pay tribute, all of that beautiful stuff, it said to me, hey, I think you're to talk about gifts. If we can go another one. I don't know if you're all aware, but beyond the men and women who serve, and Colton and everybody who serves and is in my prayers, and we thank you for your sacrifice. We live in a nation where someone has died to give us freedom that we can come together as Christians. We can come here. We can worship. We can pray. We can talk about our faiths at work, and we're not going to be persecuted. Let's hope. I don't think we're there yet, but some days you wonder. As a teacher, obviously, I have to watch what I say in the classroom. I can't be preaching. But I will say this. China is very different from us. a past church I attended actually had to went and did a missions trip to China, but they had to sneak the Bibles in. It was very much undercover. If you don't know, there is definitely a movement for Christ in China, but everything's underground. They can't be like, oh yeah, I'm going to church this morning. No, they're going and they're doing it in secret. And so if you want to put anything on your prayer list, I think we need to pray for nations like China. And I'm sure there's others that do not have the privilege to come together openly to celebrate Christ. And isn't that a shame that the government doesn't want to see Christ and good things come to their country, that they're scared of it? But we live in a nation of the free, and that is a gift, to just live where we can enjoy what we're doing right now with no concern that we're going to get arrested later today because we were at church. And then one more. I think I put them in a different. Yeah. This is literally two blocks from my house. And I didn't discover this until I was doing my second treatment of chemo. And they told me every day when you had chemo, you should be walking. You should be getting out and about. And during my second treatment, I was going to be going to school right after the treatment because we were celebrating our eighth graders. And I remember coming upon this. And I'll read that to you. To the glory of him whose touch can make us whole. And I just kind of went down on my knees and just prayed into that. And I know there's people battling cancer who might be watching right now, or you have friends. I just pray into you that you can get through cancer, that cancer is never bigger than God, that whatever you're facing, maybe rough relationships because you're going to be with loved ones this season, that can sometimes be trickier. Whatever it is, we can face it because we have Christ in our corner. He is the Almighty, and he will be victorious in everything, whatever it is. So I just look to you. So anywho, I'm on this walk and definitely felt I need to talk about gifts. So we're going to do a fun little activity. You are going to be getting out of your seat like you would be at my classroom. So just to warn you, you're getting out of your seats in a minute. And if you don't want to participate, I'm not going to come around to you and go, get up, get out of your seat. But I would love you to get out of your seat, have a little fun. And yeah, there can be a little conversation as we do this. So if we're going to do what I call a continuum walk. Okay. And here at this, we're going to consider the front of the sanctuary. Is everybody with me? This is our front. And if you strongly agree with my statement, you can come anywhere up in the front. Maybe you're not strong, but you agree and you're more up here. Or maybe you're not, you don't, and you're going to come here in the middle because you're what? What would middle be, everybody? Neutral. You don't really have a strong opinion either way. Or if you go to the back of the church, well, then you strongly disagree. Give me a thumbs up if you're like, the directions are clear, they're on the board. Ugh. What wonderful students I have today here. Can you come to my eighth grade classroom and join me sometimes there? They're wonderful too. But anywho, are you ready for our first statement? So let's get up. Let's get out of our seats. We have just a couple statements, couple things. And like I said, we can talk along the way. Don't feel it has to be dead silent. You can have some fun. You can move around here. And here's our first statement. I enjoy giving gifts. Please go to where that would, and I'm going to stay here, Sam. So, yep, I'm going to stay right here, Sam, so I can talk to the people on Facebook. We are moving around for, I enjoy giving gifts. Where are you at? And you can, yep. And talk with somebody. What's the favorite gift you've ever given somebody? Just take a moment. What is your favorite gift you've ever given someone that you were so excited for them to unwrap it? And I'm and you people, that's okay, Tanya. We still love you. Kind of neutral. You guys are kind of neutral. So we are an overwhelming community that enjoys giving gifts. Fantastic. Love it. Okay, ready for the next one. I like to go Black Friday shopping at stores. I figured, if you stay up here, I kind of think you're a little cray-cray. But I still like you. And you like chaos. Yeah. Someone likes the chaos. Yeah. Ooh, you're neutral? Don't mind it? So now talk amongst yourselves. Why not Black Friday shoppers? I'm going to talk up here with the Black Friday shopper we have.
like the type of deal. Their deal now, do you go cyber as well?
So neutral, we got some neutral folks. You could do it if you needed to. Okay. All right. Love it. I love that we're talking. We're going to go for the next statement. I like to shop for gifts online. If you strongly agree up front, if you're neutral about that, if you're in the back, but I like shopping online for gifts. Who likes the cyber deals, looks for the cyber deals on, I think we now have Cyber Monday and Cyber Friday? Anybody do that? And take a moment and share what do you enjoy about online shopping? Where do you do it? Do you have a spot that you like to do it? Go ahead, share away for a moment. All right, next one. I like to receive gifts. Strongly agree, neutral. No, I know there's, I'm not always good about receiving gifts. I don't sometimes like the limelight on me like that. Tanya? Tanya's hanging out in the back today. Neutral, some neutral folks. And go ahead and share there. What is the best gift you ever received? My dad's favorite gift I ever gave him was an electric toothbrush. He's like, that's the best gift you ever gave me. So what's the best gift you've ever received? Share with somebody near you. I gotta say, Facebookers, they have been good. They've been great at this. They're being having fun. So I like it. I like it. This is what I intended this to be. We got one more. Let's get it going. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever given. Yeah, I was hoping for the most part. Most of us think that, believe that, and we all have our different opinions and all of that, but it's great to hear. I've got a good group that is on board with he is the greatest gift, and sometimes I think I know I get lost in the commercialism, that he is the reason for the season. So thank you so much. You guys were awesome. Thanks for participating. Thanks for staying with us there a moment. Facebookers, we're getting into the message. You guys were awesome. Yeah, no judgment zone, yeah, on any of this. Absolutely. And this is where the message is going. Of course, we're here at church. We're talking about Jesus. And God gave us willingly his only son, Jesus, because he loves us and tells us this all throughout the Bible. So today, in the beginning of this message, I just want to shower you with scripture. One for a few of them. That if you want, write them down, take a picture. Maybe you want to meditate on these this week. Maybe you just want to be reminded of what's the real reason for the season. Because we are celebrating the birth of Christ. To me, he's the greatest gift ever given. And I feel through him I have love, I have relationship. And I know each of us will be celebrating together in heaven someday. I know we'll be there together. We'll be there with our loved ones we've lost. We'll be there with friends and family, and we'll be there someday. So here's our first piece of the shower. Get a little wet with it. If you want, take a picture, write it down. If you don't, that's fine too. Just take it in. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He gave. It's that gift. I was watching a football game the other day. I don't know if anybody ever sees John 3:16. I saw it right between the goalposts. Some guy was holding it up right there between the goalposts that when the kicker was kicking, anybody who was watching that game that day saw John 3:16. And I hope, I know somebody went and said, what's that? Somebody out there who doesn't know what we know, that it is the greatest gift that's ever been given to the world. And I hope this season more and more people come to know who Jesus is and that he died for us. Romans 6:23. Let's read this one together. I like to have you read because I think there's power in the word. I think when we read it together, it helps us take it in. So let's do this one together. Are you ready? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That is the word. That is Paul writing those words. Paul, who, he was part of my other message, Paul, who was killing Christians, and he was called Saul at that point. He was persecuting Christians because he believed that Jesus was not the Christ. But what happened to Paul? He got knocked off a donkey or a horse and had a vision. Had a vision knowing he was doing the wrong thing, and that's why he will say, I'm the least of all of these disciples of Christ and these apostles because I was such a sinner and wasn't listening. But he turned around and Saul became Paul. Yeah, and there's some of his words. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous Christ for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in our spirit. And when he died, we got the gift of what? Life, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit you can welcome in, you can call upon, you can feel at times. How many of you have ever felt the moments where you're like, I'm feeling that Holy Spirit. Whoa, I'm feeling his presence. And I want to say, I don't feel that every day, that I'm like, whew, I'm in it. But that moment I told you about at that Jesus statue, I felt Christ all around me, surrounding me, saying, you're not alone in this battle. And that was awesome. I felt that people everywhere I went during that time were like, I'm praying for you. If I never told you the story, the coolest gift I ever got during that time was one day after a faculty meeting. Diane and Dean were there. And a friend had organized people to come in my classroom and pray for me before I left for my first chemo. And what, 50 people in there? 50 people easily. Circling, praying, the superintendent, my principal. We just all prayed. We prayed for each other. They prayed for me. One guy sang his prayer. It was one of the most gorgeous moments. And I have been praying, and I hope you are, if you aren't praying, that you start praying to get God back in our schools. We need him. And I had been praying for it, and God said, see, I'm in the school today. I'm present. Even the faculty recognizes me. So it was amazing. Elijah, can you come on up? We're going to have Elijah help us with one of our major readings, because I think just being in the scripture, hearing his word is what we're meant. I'm just delivering the word to you. So let's check if it's on. We're going to read today from, I think it's in the next slide, John 1:1-12. Thanks, Elijah. Take it away.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was made in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name.
Amen. Thank you. I think the part that always strikes me about Jesus' story is he was born a Jewish boy. He lived a good Jewish life, but although he did fulfilled all these scriptures in the Old Testament, his own people, most of them, you say a huge percentage, rejected him, did not accept him, did not recognize the Pharisees, the men who were to know. Here comes the Messiah. Here he is. Here are the signs. Rejected him. But he still came anyway. He knew that was going to happen, but he was still willing to come. It did not deter Jesus. He didn't get here and go, well, the Pharisees don't like me. Forget it. I'm done. Because I know I do that some days. I run into trouble with a student or somebody or a tennis player or somebody around me. And I'm like, well, I'm done with them. That just was awful. They don't like me. Why am I dealing with them? But not Jesus. Jesus pushed on. He knew that he wasn't going to be welcomed. And he did it anyway. He followed the will of the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was sweating what? Blood. Oh, you guys are good. He's sweating blood. But he still honored the Father's will. And it's awesome. How many of you know who Bob Goff is? How many of you have ever read something by Bob Goff? I reread this. This is a book that's stationed at my bike in the basement. What are those bikes called? Like stationary bike. I couldn't think of it. And I pick it up, and yesterday I just happened to pick it up and, of course, found something that I thought applied to what we're talking about today. And Bob Goff was telling a story, and I'm just going to take a snippet from what he said about Jesus. To Jesus, though, it's no sacrifice at all. Think about it. His perspective. He comes from heaven, where he has an amazing love relationship with the Father, which by its nature is the most beautiful existence any person can have. I'll say that again. He comes from heaven where he has an amazing love relationship with the Father, which by its nature is the most beautiful existence any person could have. And he offers that to anybody willing to let go of whatever is giving them a false sense of security. Whew! I got plenty of those. Why would anyone not make the trade? Make the trade, meaning in this story, he was talking about making a trade. They were trading up for things. His son started with a dime in the neighborhood and was trading up for something better. And by the end, he had a truck. Yeah, he was going to neighbors, trading. What will you trade this for? He had a truck, and he took the truck and just drove it down to his church and said, here, we got a truck here. Give it to whoever needs it. And let's trade up to God. Let's trade those things that might be filling your time that aren't truth, which aren't the light. Switch it to Jesus. Turn the channel. Go to him. He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. He will do that for you. He will do that for you daily. It's not, I don't think a relationship with Christ is, oh, I've arrived. I'm there. I got it. I've got it all figured out. I'm done. No, it's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle for your time, for your energy, for your focus, for choosing the spirit over the flesh. And how many people battle the flesh? How many people battle doing the right thing over the not right thing? And I don't always have the best motives. It's sometimes like, well, I just know Christ wants me to do it. Even though I don't want to do it, I need to do it because he's my Father and he's prompting. Jesus, the greatest gift the world has ever seen, surrendered his life. He laid it down for you, for me. He was willing to obey the Father and give himself to ridicule. That's what he was willing to do, be ridiculed, be physically abused, denied by the men closest to him. by Peter, who he loves so dearly, three times. Not once, three times. How about your best friend says, oh, no. Comes against you three times. That's not your best friend the next day, right? Your best friend does something. They're not your friend the next day. Not Jesus. He forgave. He forgives us all. And then he died that death on the cross. I just can't even imagine that death. All of this goes against what we're taught here in the world. I feel like I know Jesus has to be the truth because he goes against what the world is trying to preach. It's trying to preach, only be worried about you. Be out there for you. Do what you need to do. Don't worry about anybody else. But Christ is teaching us to be there for each other because commandment number one is to love him above all else. But secondly, we're to love each other. We're to be there and care for one another. And I want to talk to you a little bit about where I've really started to go in the last couple of years. And I want to tell you, any story I'm telling you, I'm not saying I do this every time. Oh, I'm this perfect person. I'm just telling you this is a story. This has happened to me. And then other days, I totally mess it up. I'm totally a jerk. I totally fall into sin. I have to ask for forgiveness. But here I had a good moment. At least I think it's a good moment. We'll hope the youth think it's a good moment. Youth, get ready. This is a little bit about you. Chad and I at some point had talked about just wanting to grow the bridge or bring people who are to be here and have like a group that we keep having a good community here, right? Chad, you remember we had a conversation somewhere probably a year plus ago. And I said, I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to really make an effort to pray about the bridge and where God wants us to go, how he wants us to be used, what we're to do here at the bridge. And one night I went to bed. It was a Saturday night. Because there my mind's quiet. I'm not worried about the work the next day. How many people, the weekend, it's a little quieter. You're able to focus and calm down a little bit. Me too. And I woke up in the middle of the night, somewhere in November, somewhere last November. And God clearly somehow put on my heart. I didn't hear a voice. It wasn't anything like that. It was just this, you need to start youth at the bridge. You, Joy. And I'm thinking, wait, no. He's not talking about me. I got plenty to do. I'm coaching tennis fall and spring. I'm teaching math, which is September through, for those of your students, anybody, teachers, students, you know, it's a pretty big job for any of us. And I'm thinking, you're not talking me. You're not talking me. And then I went back to sleep, and I kept seeing a baby in my dreams. And I'm like, what's up with a baby? Because I'm not having a baby. That's not physically possible between Dave and I for cancer reasons, for other reasons. I'm like, why? I'm not having a baby. And I don't really think I'm supposed to adopt one. And that was him saying, baby steps, Joy. Baby steps with this youth. You don't have to jump in and every Sunday do something. And so I prayed about it some more. And I knew I needed to do it. I just didn't know how I wanted to set it up, how Chad and Angel and everybody else here was going to feel about it and felt that I was really hearing or maybe no. And now look at these folks here. Here's some of our youth right here today that we're so glad to have you. We have Sam filming. We have people reading scripture. They come with open hearts and open minds. And yeah, I make you talk, right? I make you talk, but you do. And you have good attitudes, right? We have fun together. And that was me deciding if I'm feeling prompted, then I need to listen. That I am no longer going to be that person that is prompted and just going, oh, no, that wasn't really about me. I heard that wrong. Just how many of you have talked yourself out of something you felt God was putting on your heart? Because I've talked myself out of other things. You don't have to raise your hand, but I've talked myself out of plenty of other things. But I'm so glad to be working with the youth and hopefully spreading Christ's love to them. So I want to say to you, how is God trying to use you? I see he's using many of you with children. Many of you he's using as a mom and a father. How's he trying to use you at school? How's he trying to use you with grandchildren? Or with whatever you're facing, how's he trying to use you? Are you listening? Is there someone you know who is desperate to know God's love? And you've gotten the nudge from God. But you just were like, no, I'm going to be embarrassed. They're not going to receive it well. Trust God to help you find the right words. Trust God that no matter what happens, you will be used. And how many of you have been in a situation where you're like, well, that didn't go well. I just tried something. I was walking out in faith. But you know what? We plant seeds. And I say that so many times with my eighth graders who buck me all the time. Let's do your math. I hate math. Okay, I understand. I know some of our youth feel the same way. They tell me sometimes their frustrations with math specifically. But you're planting a seed so many times when you talk about Christ with people. You're planting for who knows what. All we can do is do what God asks. We can't be the ones to pour the water on, put fertilizer. That's what God's in charge of. We can only push and do what he says and hope we're following him. And I know when he sees you following him, he is so proud of you. He is so proud when you step out in faith, doing something new or maybe doing something you know didn't work 10 other times, but you're saying do it again, I'm going to do it again. Be thoughtful of how he's talking to you. Listen to him. This is the season. And that is just, oh, forgot that slide. That's just walking in his will, doing what he wants you to do. Here's one of my scriptures, and this is something I probably don't say daily, but should be saying daily, because how many people agree we have struggles every day in this life? It's not like we have many perfect days. How many people agree we don't have many perfect days where there isn't issues, there's not struggles, you're not frustrated, you're not whatever? But this is my favorite. Let's say it together. One more time, if you don't mind. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that him is everybody. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you have some go-to scriptures for yourself? Do you spend time with the Word or the Bible, or maybe watching Joyce Meyer on TV, or just talking at dinner, taking 5-10 minutes to check in. Where'd you see Christ today? Or maybe calling a good friend. Hey, I want to talk to you about something that's been on my heart with Christ. Are you spending that time? Are you investing? Maybe even do a Google search on something if you need to. Do a Google search. Study an area. Dig into your Bible in an area that you might need. I thought I had this now. I'm just going to go for it now. It fits in here. A couple years ago. Let's start back real quick a second. In my household growing up, I was yelled at every day, multiple times a day, for doing something wrong. And a lot of the times it was, Joanne Grafe! It was something, it was using my name in vain. And if anything, I try to remember as a teacher, don't use their name in vain. Try not to use their name in vain. Because their names are their names. They're precious to us. And parents, God bless you, because I don't know how you do it. I you're doing the toughest job out there. But I just remember hearing and being around anger all the time growing up. And when I started as a teacher 25 years ago, I remember my kids saying when I asked for feedback, like, they said, you yell too much. And I was like, oh, I'm yelling. And why am I yelling? Because that's what I learned. That's was the discipline I had. And then a couple years ago, as, you know, the anger, I've tried to work through the anger. I definitely have stopped yelling. I think that was the first wake-up call. And I've not stopped yelling, but I've eliminated. I cut back. I spent time with God. But then I had a tennis player who was a senior. I had arranged matches for this tennis player. I've always been over backwards for this tennis player. And they quit going into our final spring season. They were there in the fall. They had done some murky things. It always had been a struggle. And they quit the team in an email. In an email to me, I'm quitting the team. And guess what? Where do you think they played in the lineup? Number one. And they were going through things, this person. And they quit. And sometime that week, I had a dream. I had a dream. And that person came up to me in my dream and said something snarfy. Made me a nasty comment in my dream. And in the dream, I ripped them apart. I just pulled them piece by piece and just shredded them. And I don't say that to you like, hey, look what I did in my dream. But that I felt then God was saying, you have got to get a grip on your anger. It is not serving you. I can't use you. And then I started to study scriptures on anger and how not to be that person. And I want to, I am not telling you right now I am cured. I am never angry, because trust me, every day I struggle with anger or frustration. And even this week, in my dreams, people who had angered me in my past came up in my dreams. I'm like, oh, what's that about? Is that because the devil's trying to get at me right now? Because I think I've worked on this. Maybe I haven't worked on this. But for me, the number one trigger is people who betray me or people who make me feel excluded. And the one dream was my colleagues at work all went to Las Vegas, but guess who they didn't take? They didn't take me. And I'm like, what's that about? Because it triggers me. It makes me feel left out. All of us like to feel loved and valued. But what I'm saying to you is dig in some scriptures. You can make a do a Google search on anything. If you need love, search for love in the Bible. If you need help with anger, do what I did. Find some scriptures, meditate on it, work on it. You can, he can help you. He can help you. And no, I have not ripped anyone apart in my dream since that day, luckily. I've never had a dream quite that angry. And even as I had the dreams this week, I was better about it. Yes, frustrated. Yes, angry. But I didn't rip anybody apart. I think I might have yelled once or twice, but I definitely handled it better. So I'm going to pause, and we're going to bring Kathy up for our next scripture, which comes from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10.
You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among you, among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. I want to remind you of what it says in 8. For it is by free grace that you are saved and made partakers of Christ's salvation through faith. Your faith that Jesus did that for you, not that you can do anything. And I want to tell you, I lived probably at least until my 30s at some point, trying to be the Christian who, I've earned it. I'm worthy enough for you, Christ. I'm worthy to be called your child. And it's not about what you do. It's about what Christ did, that he was born, that he went to the cross for you and for me. I like to think of it, and Chad, I was like thinking back to things you said. It's, if there's a little bit of pee, what is it? If there's a little bit, go ahead, jump in here, please. Right. One more time, because I like that so much. Because it's not me doing. It's us believing, putting faith in Jesus and what he did. Peace. That's another gift he gives us. Peace I leave with you, I give to you. He gave peace, not not as the world has given. He's given it to us so that we can spend time in his word to find peace. Worship, we find peace. Taking a moment to say grace and be grateful for what has God given you today. If you live in a place of gratefulness, it's so much better than being that complainer all the time. And yes, we all complain. I complain. We vent. Sometimes we need it. But I think we need to operate from a place of grace and obeying God. And I got one last story. I started work again. I'm going through stuff still with cancer because it's changed my body to go through the change. Women, you know what I'm talking about. And I got slammed into the change at 46. It wasn't like, hey, here you go, a little bit. Oh, no, you're slammed in because that's how I'm staying cancer-free. So I'm slammed into this change. And I don't want to go into everything. But it's definitely, I've already always been a sensitive person. But it's even amplified my sensitivity. And over the last couple months, I was just not feeling peace at work. Not the teaching, but around some of my colleagues at work. How many people have ever been there where you've had to watch, maybe you've had to distance, you've struggled a bit. And it was like I thought they were one way, and then it like morphed, that they felt different. The conversations felt different. It didn't feel good. And God said to me, if you want peace, you need to start eating lunch alone. Let me say that again. Felt very much, once again, no voices, just in my heart. If you want peace, you need to start eating lunch alone. And if you don't know me, I'm a people person. I like being around people. I like talking, hence I'm here. And Dave can say, I called Dave more than one day at lunch just crying. Like, this is awful. I'm eating alone in my room again. And I'm doing it. I did it. I mean, I've been out of my room since that time because somebody invited me to lunch and said, hey, we're getting Panera. Do you want to join us? I thought, okay, yeah, I can do one day. But that was a tough decision to make. But I want to tell you, within about 2 weeks, I really started to feel a change in me, in my mind, in where I was. And I was like, oh, thank God I did that. Like, really, thank God. Thank you. Thank you that I did that because it restored some peace. I'm not acting like I'm first of all, you know, I'm not a peaceful person. I'm pretty, hey, how you doing? I'm joy, you know. But it definitely restored peace. I didn't feel what I was feeling, which was coming at me, and that I wasn't good enough. And so I say to you, sometimes some of the things you're asked to do, you don't think you want to do, but in time, they are the best thing for you. So I'm so thankful. Once again, I listened to the prompting of the Lord. And God has given us the gift of choice. And today, thank you. And God is so proud to see you sitting here or watching on Facebook. He's proud that you said, I'm going to take part of my Sunday morning and I'm going to invest it in you, God. Because I know when I hear the word, when I get to be around the amazing worship these two do, when you get to be around other Christians and talking about we have a Savior, that's the reason for the season. He is proud and it is good for you. How many people feel a little better anytime they leave this place? Your spirit, your encouragement, all of it, because you've invested your time into worship, hearing his word, being among people. And I thank you. I pray that as we move forward here these next couple days, we remember Jesus is the reason for thee. Yes, and that he will be revealed to you, that you will feel more of his joy, more of his peace, develop that relationship, because every day you can choose to love him and be with him, or you can choose other stuff. And I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's having a good balance in your life. And I thank you for tuning in, and I'll get to you, ladies, again.
Son of the month.
All is calm and all
singing carols of joy and peace. Will you feel too far gone, too far out of reach? Somewhere in your silent night, heaven hears a song.
Always loved you, child, and he always will.